morning again. Welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm lead pastor here at Grace Community Church. I'm very excited that I get to be here with you today, Easter morning. What a great day, and it's so good to see so many people here and to see your smiling faces. It's a gorgeous day because it's the day that we get to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. Amen? Well, this is a great day. It's Easter of Grace. If you were here on Friday, you know that we had our Good Friday service talking about the sufferings and the cross. And that was really a day where we could remember what God has done for us, that he died, what he went through, what he took on for us, that he died on the cross, that he went through those things. And it was a time of remembrance. And it's a time of remembering what he's done for us, remembering what he went through. But now that that's over, we get to celebrate today, which is Easter, is that he rose again. And it's a celebration. It really is a celebration. We were talking about this at staff, that Easter Sunday is really a celebration of everything that is God, recognizing that he is not dead. He rose from the grave. He is here. He is living. He is not dead somewhere. It is a celebration of life that we get to have of our Savior. And as I was looking up really what a celebration meant, I found an awesome definition from Dallas Willard that says this: celebration, the completion of worship, for it dwells on the greatness of God as shown in his goodness to us. That is true celebration, recognizing how great God is and how good he is to us. How much he cared for us, that he would not just die for us, but that he would take death away from us, that he would take on our sins and make it so we don't have to pay the penalty of spiritual death, that we can get all that out of the way and have a relationship with our Father in heaven, have a relationship with God. And today we're going to be talking about what it was like on Easter for everyone, what it's like for on Easter on us, that we get to celebrate, but what it was like for Easter for people that were living in that day as well. The Easter story goes that after he'd been crucified and he was buried, we just sang about it, he was buried in a tomb and the stone was rolled in front of it, and he was there and he was buried for 3 days. And on that third day, there were some women who came to take care of Jesus' body. They came to bring, to put incense there, to bring spices there. Why? Because they expected Jesus to be dead. They expected him to be in that tomb and to go, if we don't add spices, if we don't add these things, it's going to start smelling because he was dead, and that's what they expected. And they showed up mourning and expecting him to still be in that tomb. But when they showed up, something amazing happened. In 3 of the 4 Gospels, it talks about what happened when they showed up, and that they showed up and they got there, and things weren't what they expected. There was supposed to be this big stone in front of the tomb so they couldn't get in. And it was guarded by Roman soldiers. But when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. And if we read these 3 different passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we can see what it says. In Matthew chapter 28, 5-6, then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. In Mark, it says, the women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where he laid his body. And then again in Luke, it says, the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men said, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. This is the good news of Easter. He isn't here. He isn't in the tomb. He isn't dead. He isn't buried. He's alive. There has been a resurrection where he defeated death, came back to life, but through that process took on our sin, paid the penalty for what we owed and what we deserved. This resurrection is an amazing thing because when they got to the tomb and they found that it was empty and he wasn't lying there, their minds were blown. They were sitting there going, this is incredible. And the angel said, don't look. among the dead for the living. He is risen. He is risen. He's not here. He's risen. And this really, truly, and honestly is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, that he isn't dead. He's not buried. We don't worship someone who died and is buried somewhere and is in the ground and we're going, well, he lived a good life. He was a good guy. He gave us good moral things. No, we worship a Savior who's alive, who defeated death, who took on death for us. So we don't have to have that spiritual death, that we can have a relationship with God. This was the good news that was preached by the apostles. This was the good news that was passed on for decades and then centuries and then millennia. This is the good news that is still to us today. And we can see exactly what it is in 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. And today, when we're talking about Easter, really that's what we talk about, the good news. Sometimes we go deeper into theology and we talk about different things and trying to understand the Bible and trying to understand what God wants for our life. But at the core of it all is this truth right here, that God loved us so much that he not only died for us, but he rose again for us. That he conquered death, and he took on your sin and my sin. And he didn't do it in just a general way. He did it individually for every single person here. He did it individually for every single person to come, to say, I died for you so you can have a relationship with me. I died and rose again and took on your sin, so if you call on my name, if you believe in me, you can have that relationship as well. I will pay for your sin with my righteousness. When you stand before the Father, he doesn't see what you've done in your sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ in front of him and says, it's paid for, it's done, that's it. It's a beautiful truth, and it's the good news that was preached to everyone. But there's a really interesting part of this story that I thought as I was looking through it, that I think sometimes we don't think about. When we talk about the women coming to the tomb and coming to put the spices on Jesus, I always think it's really interesting that there was just the women that went there who were following him, and we don't see the apostles there. Why don't we see the apostles there? People who had been following him, who had been hearing from him, who had been hearing the truth of Jesus, who had been speaking to them, telling them, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. Why weren't they there? Well, they were hiding. They were hiding in an upper room. They were scared for their life. They had been following this guy. They'd been following him and saying, he's going to be the ruler of all. He's going to be the Savior. He's going to save Israel. And now he's dead. And they felt lost. And they were afraid. And they were unsure of what was to happen. Well, the question is why? Well, one, they were fearful for their life because their leader had just died. He was buried. He was in the tomb. In their minds, they went, it's over. Our great victory is done. Why? Well, because they had expected something from Jesus. For the last 400 years, they hadn't heard from any of the prophets, hadn't been speaking, and God had been letting the nation of Israel be. And the nation of Israel had built up this idea of what to expect when the Messiah returned. And they expected a couple things. First thing, they expected a king. They expected a king of earth to come and rule over the nation of Israel again, to lift it up to a place of power, to lift it up to an amazing place to go. We will once again rule it all. We will have a king who will rule for all time. It'll be amazing. We will have a nation on earth that is strong. And they expected this Messiah to come as a warrior, to come and defeat their enemies, to kick the Romans out, to say, Jerusalem's ours, the nation's ours. And that's what they were looking for. Jesus was going to be that guy. He was going to come in, kick everyone out, rule over them, and be the king of Israel. But the problem was, That was their expectations. And they were putting these expectations on Jesus. And when they had those expectations, and suddenly they saw it all fall apart, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do because it's not what they expected. All of a sudden, Jesus was coming and not being this warrior, but was coming and saying, let's take care of each other. Let's love each other. Let's follow God. It's not about showing how religious you are, but showing how humble you are. Showing your relationship with God and caring for others. It wasn't what they expected. So they were afraid. And they were hiding. And I think sometimes we have some of those same issues in our world right now, where we expect certain things of God. Where sometimes we sit there and go, we expect God maybe to fix our finances, going, if I follow God, money will be no problem for me anymore because God will take care of things and I'll be good. Well, God does say, follow me, I will take care of your needs. He doesn't say, I'll take care of your wants. I'll take care of your needs. He says, I'll make sure that I take care of you. Sometimes I think we expect that God will fix our relationships. We come in and we say, all right, God, I'm following you now. Fix everything for me. Make it all better. Make my relationships better. And God doesn't really come in and say, okay, the relationship's perfect now. Snap your fingers, you're good. He changes our hearts individually. And through that, our relationships can be improved. Sometimes we go, maybe God will give us a better job. Maybe he'll give us a better house. Maybe he'll give us a better career. And we have these expectations of once I have God in my life, this is what will happen. And we come with these expectations, I think just like sometimes the apostles had expectations of what Jesus would be. The issue is, that's not really who Jesus was. That's not really who Jesus is. God is much more concerned with our hearts. Much more concerned on who we are. And how we love, and how we care. And God did make promises. And Jesus did make promises. He didn't promise that he would come in and wipe out different kingdoms on earth that were opposed to him. He didn't promise that he would come in and make your nation the greatest nation. He didn't come in and promise any of these things sometimes we expect. The promises of Jesus were much different. The promises of Jesus really went to us and our relationship with him. The promises of Jesus were this, life. In Matthew 16, verses 24 through 25, it says, if you try to hang on your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. These things that are contradictory, you go, what do you mean if I give up my life? I said, he's saying, look, if you're trying to hold on to everything, if you're trying to be the one in control, it's going to fall apart. But if you give it to me, if you give up your life to me, I will save your life. I will give you life, eternal life. He promised us friendship. In John 15, it says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. Think about that for a second. To have friendship with God. The creator of the universe who created you, who made you, said, I want to be your friend. I want us to have a relationship together. I want to have a friendship together. Another promise of Jesus was rest. In Matthew 11, it says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry burdens, and I will give you rest. Many times in this world, I don't feel like I get much rest. I feel like I'm going from one thing to the other, like running from one thing to the other. I'm going in the rat race. I'm doing this. I'm jumping around. I'm taking care of my family. I'm doing school stuff. You're doing work. You're doing all these things, and you're pulling your hair out. That's what happened to me, by the way. It's stress. It's just stress. I'm telling myself that. It'll come back any day now. But you don't feel like you have rest. God says, hey, come to me. Lay your burdens on me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest from a weary life. He also said he'll give us joy. In John 15, it says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Think about that. He said, I told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. What does that mean? That means our joy comes from God. The joy we have is God's joy. His joy is placed inside of us, and then it flows out from us. And joy is not happiness like, oh, this was a good thing, and I like that movie, so now I'm happy. That's not what joy is. Joy is sitting there, despite any circumstance that's going on, I know I'm secure in my love with God. I know he cares for me. I know he loves me. It's joy despite the circumstances. And he says, your joy will overflow. Why? Because it's his joy inside of us. He also said he would give us peace. In John 14, it says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Many times in this life, as we're going through struggles, as we're going through hard times, you don't know what to do. You sit there and you're struggling. You're stressed out, and God says, look, lean on me. Give me your burdens. I will take them away. But guess what? Lean on me. Give those troubles to me, and I will give you peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace of the heart that does not make sense. He will give it to us. Why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace because God is at peace. God is good. And that peace becomes our peace. One of the final things he promises us is this, acceptance. In John 6, verse 37, it says, however, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. Think about that for a second. Those the Father has given to me will come to me, and I will never reject them. When you come to God, when you call on his name, guess what? It says we will never reject you. He accepts you. Many times I think we have to come to church. I need to have my life right before I can do church stuff, before I can do stuff, before I can be a good follower of Jesus. I need to make sure my life is straight and perfect and right. And then I come to God because now I'm right. It's the other way around. God accepts you right where you are and says, I will take you right where you are. You call on me, and guess what? I will change you. We can't change ourselves. We need God in our life to change us. And every one of these promises, every one of these promises that Jesus gives is really because of the resurrection. It's because he made it so that that curtain, that symbolic curtain that was between us and God, that separated us, that sin that was there was removed when he was resurrected. All of these things are possible because Jesus died for us, but then he rose again. He conquered death. He conquered sin and made it so that you and me can have a relationship with God without that being in the way. And that's really what the resurrection is. It's to have a relationship with God. The resurrection means we can have a relationship with God. That you can go to God. You don't need to come to me and say, Kelly, I need you to pray for me and forgive the sins. Guess what? That's not me. I can't do that. I'm a sinner myself. I have to go straight to God and say, God, you forgive me. Let me repent and turn from it. God, I need you in my life. And you get to do the exact same thing. You go to God and you say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I want to turn from sin. And I want more of you and less of me. And that's really what a relationship with God is. It's where God changes our hearts. It's where God says, you will now have a new heart, and it'll be my heart. You will have a new life, and it'll be a life in me. You will have peace because it's my peace. You will have joy because it's my joy. You will have life because I am life. Everything that Jesus promised was that sin taken away, and giving himself to us and making it so we could have relationship with him. And now he lives inside of us. And we change, not because we're better people, but because we have a better God. Because God is good. God is great. And his goodness and his love lives inside of us. And that's what changes us. Here at Grace, you heard us pray this morning for every other church in this area. Why do we do that? Because we believe that God is working in this world. And we believe that he set up the entire church to help spread the word of Jesus Christ. And we want to encourage that. And we want to lift up other churches. It's not come to Grace and be a part of Grace and everything and be here this morning because we've got all the answers. We don't. God does. And we know we need to turn to God. If you're new here today, I want you to know two things. Two things this morning. The first is this, that God loves you. That God died and rose again for you. And the second thing is that all he wants from you is for you to turn to him and to love him. Turn to him and take his heart into your heart. Turn to him and ask for forgiveness. Turn to him and let him change you from the inside. Let him work in your heart. This is the message of Easter. And it's a great message. It's a simple message, but it is the most powerful message because everything else revolves around this idea that God died for us, he rose again for us, so we could have a relationship with him and we would be restored to him. This is the message of Easter, and it's a great and beautiful message. It's the message of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray together.